Okay. Looks like it's good. Hey, wanted to talk to you about something. Actually, I spoke to you about it a couple of weeks ago. And remember that? It's very important for us to have what? To have hope. But here's where we get messed up, guys. Ernest said something this morning about, I'm going to use a word. You know, you read things, and this word kind of impressed me the first time I read it. It's something that's ethereal. In other words, up in the air. You were saying that this morning. And when we have hope, do you realize our hope is based in carnality? Do you guys realize that? When we say we hope something, we're relating it to something earthy. We're hoping ethereally in the air, in the atmosphere somewhere, two things are going to come together and give us what we want. a couple of things will work out and we'll get what we want, right? Oh, I hope, I hope I get that house. I hope I get that car. And it's always based on the earthy, isn't it? Because that's what the man of sin wants you to do. He wants you to keep your mind earthy. He doesn't want to come to a place of spirituality in God. And so, and even when we talk about this one, we're talking about our world that's an earth, aren't we? It's a world here. He wants to keep you there. And so whenever you say that term hope, you're always hoping that something's going to happen. It's going to be by osmosis. A couple of things are going to come together by chance, even almost. And you hope that it comes to pass. And you put trust in that hope, even though it's like that word I started off with, ethereal. It's in the atmosphere. You don't know whether it's going to come together or not, but you're hoping, aren't you? Isn't that how we use the term hope? What if I was to tell you when God uses the term hope, he's talking about his will? Think about this. He's talking about his will. You think God sits around and hopes like we hope that something's going to come to pass? No. But then he mentions the term hope a lot in the scriptures. I think the number one one is the Romans 8:24. We all know that one. Hope that is seen is not hope, and it goes on. So think about this. Hope that is seen is not hope. Now, here's where most of our minds go. You don't tell me it doesn't, because it just happened just now, because I realize it happened just now. Your mind goes to earthy things. Hope that is seen is not hope. So you say, okay, I see that house, I see that car, I see that whatever. That's how your mind works. So you're saying to yourself, if I see it, then that's not hope. And you're talking about things here. Okay? What if I was to tell you that hope that is seen is not hope? It's what you get by your own. You get by your own knowledge and reasoning. Because what are you seeing in your world? You're seeing what you want. In your world, that's your expect. This really goes along with hope a lot, this word here. That's what we were saying. You're hoping a couple of things come together and it brings you what you want. Right? So, do we take that and bring it into this world? And we're just hoping that certain things come together. I'm going to tell you how one of the things, how it works is like this. God, it's just all this evil stuff. Just take it away. Just take it away. We say that sometimes, don't we? But you don't learn that way. What God wants you to do is to understand what evil is. You see what I mean? He wants you to understand it. That way it can never have power over you again. For something to be just taken away is not good for you. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes it does happen. Let me show you how. Sometimes it's taken away because you're seeing an image, and you think because you don't see that image anymore in your world that it's gone. But what happened to it, Ernest? Do you know what happened to it? You see images in your mind, and you know it's not a good thing, And then you don't see that image anymore. So what happened to it? It went? It's hiding. It's hidden. It just went deeper, that's all. And what else is it going to do? Is it going to transform itself into another form? Same spirit, but another form. But in you, you're hoping it's gone because you don't see it in that form anymore. So, hey, God did what I said. He took it away. That's what people think. That's what they think in their mind. Because they said, that's what I asked him. Now, remember this. In the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, even if it comes to pass, believe it not. You see where I'm going with this? So, there's another scripture, I think it's in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, where it says, those false prophets cause the people to hope what they've said will come to pass. Do you see how a hope can cause you to have a problem if it's based in the wrong thing? You see where I'm going with this? Yet we use the same word, don't we? When we say we hope, the hope we have is that God's going to do such and such. But how do we reason that hope? How do we want God to do it? A lot of times it's according to what we think we want at the time and the way we think it ought to be done. Really? So are we trying to instruct God when we do that? You think maybe? So in our hope, we have an expectation. God, if you'll just allow this to happen, and that'll come, and man, I'll be good. So we're already telling them how we want it, huh? How we want it. If you just bring me this person here, this will be a better person for my life. If you cause this to happen here, if you get this particular thing for me here, hey, I can even use it for this here. I've used this term since we put this house up for sale. I hope somebody buys this house. But I know the difference between the hope I'm saying and the hope that the scripture talks about. Guys, they're not the same. I use that word a lot here because I understand what works here. And even then, even my hope here, hey, is it going to be like a time and chance thing? Hey, somebody may do it, somebody may not, right? No big deal. I don't put stock in it, in other words. I don't put a full expectation in it because I know how things work here. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, right? Sometimes things go through, sometimes things don't go through. Sometimes you put a lot of hope in something here in this physical realm, and when it does not come to pass, guess what you enter into? Somebody tell me what happens to you. Condemnation. Your countenance will fall. What else happens to you? You lose hope. What else happens to you? Worldly sorrow. What else happens to you? I'm looking for some more. But when depression is depression, I already told you. That's not the word I was going to use, but that's how we enter into depression here. You know how many people are depressed here in this world? Wow.
I was thinking of accusation
even. Why? Why? It's a delusion. God, why didn't you do something? How many times has God heard that, you think? Oh. And it's all because of a poor perception of this, isn't it? It's a bad perception. Do you think the man of sin likes for you to have that type of worldly hope? Because he knows a lot of it's not going to come to pass. And whatever does come to pass, he's going to try to make you think, see, it's just like that thing in Deuteronomy 13. He said, believe it not, because that's going to be a convincer to you. This is an important lesson this morning, guys. It convinces you that God answered your prayer. Think about what I said. It convinces you. What kind of hope is that? Isn't that the hope that is? We keep thinking as things here. I'm trying to bust that right now. Hope that is seen is not hope. So if I see that car, well, it's not faith or hope if I, you know, whatever. If I see it, that's not how it's going to work. It has to be something I can't. You see what I mean? We place it in an earthy. And that's why they tell us not to use earthy examples. It's not good to use them. Every once in a while, there's got to be something that works good that way. You have to use an example. I've heard Rick use a couple of them about certain things that he saw. But most of the time, to do that all the time as a pattern, to use an earthy example, is not good, because then that keeps our mind in the earth. They that are of the world, speak they of the? That's exactly what happens. See what I mean? So the hope has to be a different type of hope. A different type. When we're young, oh man, do you remember the hopes you had when you were young? Wow, we hoped a lot of things, didn't we? I hope this, I hope that. I hope this works out, I hope that works out. Some of us finally came to the conclusion that just us hoping for it and the way we thought of it here was not going to make it come to pass. We got disappointed so many times. How many times you're disappointed by parents even? Ooh, it's Christmas, and I know. Oh, yeah. We thought, oh, our hope was in whatever, man. Maybe we'll get a bike this year. That, see how I'm relating it to the earthy? That is true. Sometimes you got to do that. But man, didn't we put all of that in that? And then when they came up and gave you a Texas Instrument calculator for school because they thought it might be good for you for school, you said, oh, my God. I'm aging myself by saying Texas Instruments. I don't even know if they still make stuff. But it was amazing, man. It was amazing what we put our hope in. How many times have you put your hope in an individual? How'd that work for you? In some cases, pretty good, huh? Yeah? How many times did it work out good, percentage-wise? How many times did it work out bad, putting your faith in an individual? I ran into some good people in my life that helped me. I ran into some very good friends that helped me through some very tough times. And, you know, I appreciate that happened. But I ran into a whole lot more that wasn't good stuff at all. I put my hope in it, and oh, my God. You know what you do as you get older? You come to the realization if something's going to happen here, you're going to have to work for it, plan for it, do, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And even then, sometimes it doesn't work out because you start getting into it and you find out how hard it is for some to get the goal that you want. It becomes too hard for you. So you say, you know, I got to switch to something else. I ain't going to keep going with that. I never realized it would take this. How many times have those aha moments hit you in your life? You realize it's going to take more than what you've got. And not that it's impossible. It takes more than what you have. Maybe the next person over here may say, oh, yeah, that's easy to me, and zoom right through it. No problem. But then that's when we get into another problem. Then we start comparing, how come I couldn't do that? And so, you know what? There's a scripture. I don't know if it's, I don't know, is it a scripture? It may. It says hope deferred. It says hope deferred is what? Does it make you sick? I think it says, or something like that. Look it up and see what it says. Hope deferred. In other words, when you don't get your hope, it gets sidetracked off to another place. It doesn't come to pass. When that hope is deferred, what does it say? Anybody have it? Yeah. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So what did the writer learn? The wrong hope gets deferred, makes your heart sick. But what did he learn also about the tree of life, though? What does it say about the second? That's the most important part of that scripture, is the second part. What does it say?
When the desire cometh,
the tree of life. Ah, so do you think desire is in hope? Has to be, doesn't it? What are you hoping for if you don't have a desire for something? You understand what I'm saying? There's a desire there. Let me put another word. Isn't it? Does lust go there sometimes? Isn't your hope wrapped up in that? Now let me say something very, very good here. There's a good lust and a bad lust. This is what that second part of that writer is talking about. The desire has to be this. You want the will of God more than you want anything. Yeah. Read it. It means all of that, doesn't it? How many remember I was standing here one day on a Sunday, and I saw a tower of fire in front of me. And out of that came this, the desire of the Lord. And whatever I was going to preach that day, that left. And I spoke about the desire of the Lord because that's what I saw. That was so strong about the desire of the Lord, what God desires. God doesn't have to hope for anything, guys. What God desires comes to pass. Whatever his expectation is, it will come to pass. Whatever he sets his mind to, it's going to be done. You see how this works? It's different with him because he's the creator of all things. All power is in his hand. So I said it's different with him. Should it be any different with us if we believe in the things that God wants us to desire? You see what I mean? Can anything be withheld from you in your hope and your desire if it's of God? See how I put that? If it's of God, yet we walk and talk and think as though that those things are impossible because we still think of them in human terms. We still think of them in earthly terms. In other words, a lot of times our hope gets deferred, just like we read about. It gets sidetracked. Because either it's not coming in the time we think it should come in the way we think it should come in, or we're comparing ourselves to others that have already walked that path, haven't we? Yeah. And then it becomes almost a depression to us. Why? Why? Why is it when your hope is deferred, if it becomes a depression, was it ever based on God? That's your answer right there. What does our hope have to be based on? It has to be based on that desire was for the tree of life, wasn't it? How does the tree of life come forth without the godly woman, without the Lord, because she is God? How does it come forth without that? Where is your hope supposed to be? Not in things that you can see by knowledge, wisdom. You see how I went through that whole thing now? Those are the things it's talking about. Though hope that is seen is not hope. You know why? Because you've fulfilled it through your reasoning and your knowledge already. See, we're mistaken about what we actually see here. That's not what God's talking about. We know the physical world is separated from all of that spiritual stuff. We should know by now. So what is the scene he's talking about? Well, what I see in my mind, what I see in my heart, huh? That's what's seen, the desires I have of self. It's about me. It's about what I want. Those things are seen, Ernest. They're seen, and then you say, well, then why is it that I'm not receiving what I should be receiving? Because your hope is in the things that you've seen. Does that make sense? You've seen this. Some of you have even gone into lucid dreams and dreamed it about what you want. Wow. We already know one that did, didn't we? That went into the dream, would see what he wanted, and then come out and preach it. Very important, guys. So where was the hope wrapped up in? In what you could see. And where do you see it? That's what it's talking about when it says hope that is seen is not hope. Because hope in reality is what? Is it not Christ? In reality. Hope is actually God, the will of God. Is Christ the will of God? Yes, it is. Christ himself is the will of God. Would you say Michael is too? Would you say Gabriel is? See, it is the will of God, isn't it? All those apostles, you think that's the will of God? Oh, most assuredly. That is the will of God. So these hopes that we see are what we've seen within ourselves, in our carnality. And it's not what God wants us to see. He said, if you're hoping in that, if you're in this ethereal thing where you hope two things come together and you're going to get things of me by just osmosis, things are just suddenly going to be poured into you. That's not the way it's going to be. You got to experience some things. You got to understand what conscious levels are. You got to understand the discerning of spirits, don't you? And what spirit is dealing with you. Those things. So that's why I'm saying when we say, God, just take it away, that's not ever going to happen. Even temptation, he won't do that with. You know, James chapter 1 tells you he's never going to take temptation away, ever. He said that you should do what when you're tempted? It sounds weird, but he says you ought to do what? Well, he said to endure, but he said what? Oh, no, he says something even greater than that. Let me tell you what he says. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Wait a minute. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Are we still talking about hope? Yeah. Count it all. You would have to have a hope that if you're in these diverse temptations, that there's going to be a way out. Right? And remember what he says? He said, I'll never put more in you than you can. But with every temptation, make a way of escape. Ah, is that the hope? Now we're getting somewhere, huh? Now we're getting somewhere. Does that make sense? Now we have a hope. But is the hope in what? Ethereal and what we think in our world? Or is the hope in Christ himself? See how the difference works here? Every time we use that word, we ought to be cognizant of how we're using it. Even when we use it here. Even when we use it here. I hope my child grows up to be a good person. I hope we're, okay, if that's what you're hoping, then you become what you're supposed to come and put that into that child. Ah, now it makes a difference. It's not just you having some ethereal thing. You said in the air, didn't you? Something floating in the air, you hope it comes together. Get in there and create that thing and make it come together. That's the difference, huh? You got something? You thinking about something? Somebody thinking about something here? What? Tell me. It is. That's it. There you go. So that hope that we have before, hoping ethereally things will come together, is it unclean? You know why it's unclean? Because who's giving you the thought? You are. And who's promoting that thought in you? Man of sin. Wow. He said, ooh, look at what they're hoping for. I'll get in there with that. You see what I mean? And what your hope is based on what you want. Now, think about this. Paul on his way to Damascus gets knocked down, light, the whole thing, right? He knows it's the Lord because it can only be one thing that could do that to him. He knows this is a miracle happening right now. He's down on the ground where he needs to be, humbled, fallen. He went through his fall, right? He's on the ground, and he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What was his next question? What wilt thou have me to? But this is what we say. God, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. I want to be this. I want to be that. We're telling God what we want to be and what we want to do. What did Paul say? He was very wise in what he said. He said, what wilt thou have me to do? What will of yours do you want me to do? Isn't that what he was really saying? Oh, wait a minute. So would that be his hope? Why would he say that now that he realizes that he's been fighting against Jesus all this time? Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered, you know what, Paul? I'm going to tell you who I am. It's going to shock you out of your socks. I am Jesus whom thou have been persecuting. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how Paul felt? He's going to different cities. He's putting people in jail. He's causing people to be killed because he thinks he knows God. His hope was in what he could see and what he thought God was. That's what he could see, huh? As a Pharisee, as a whatever, as a Benjamite. He could see that.
Wow.
But then something came along, brighter than the noonday sun, knocked him down to the ground, and he heard a voice, didn't he? And those that were around heard a voice, couldn't see squat. All he could see was that bright light. In fact, put his eyes out, blinded him, didn't it? Think about what I'm saying. But he knew that voice, man. Once it spoke, he knew it was the Lord. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest."
Wow.
But they said, okay, what will, knowing this, Paul's next step, he's pretty straight man, isn't he? "Tell me what you want me to do, Lord. Your will. What is your will for me to do now?" You know what we say? "Lord, what you going to do for me? I need this. I need that. I want you to take away all of this. I want you to make everything right for me for this. I want this to come to pass, this to come to pass." That's what we ask Jesus, don't we? How come we're not asking him, "I want your will to be done totally in my life, in everything. Not what I want, but what you want. And help me to understand that will. Let my hope be in that." Does that make sense? Then my hope doesn't have to be deferred, does it? It's only deferred if it's carnal. Does that make sense? Then that's when you enter into depression. Any of you depressed in here ever been depressed or are depressed? Guess where it's coming from? Hope deferred. Something you didn't get the way you wanted to get it. Catch what I'm saying? Something you're hoping ethereally will happen in the air, in the atmosphere, and bring everything together and make everything right. Make everything right according to who? What you want. Is the Lord in that? It's not what he wants, huh? "If you do this for me, God, I'll be happy." And God's telling you the whole time, "If you do my will, you will be happy." "Happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth." Happy is the man whom the Lord loveth, right? Happy is the man who will abase himself so that he can be exalted. Happy is the man that does not condemn himself in the things that he alloweth. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. You will get happy. You will have happiness because now your hope is in God. It's doing his will, and your hope that you had before that was deferred always put you in depression and other consciousnesses, took you into darkness. Now you can see light. Hope is light. And the light is of the Lord. So the hope is the will of God in him. It's what God wants. Here's the thing. Our hopes, all the hopes that we have, I'm going to tell you something. There's a big word you need to keep in your mind about your hope. It is this. Your hopes, all of them, if they're not in God, they're limited. You know why? Because they can only go as far as you can think in your world. Now, in God's world, in God's world, is there anything impossible? Wouldn't you want to have the unlimited and not the limited? Wouldn't you, Ernest? I'd rather have the unlimited. It says that. I think it's the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Is that where it's at? Where it talks about temporal, what's temporal and what's eternal. Is it the fourth chapter? Somewhere in there, I think. Somebody see if you can find that. But you're right, Tim. When we think in our mind, it's temporal because it's limited. We don't even have the scope to think the way God does until we enter into God and then we have his imagination. Then we have it. Isn't that true? So are we stunning ourselves or limiting ourselves by not entering into God's imagination and having an eternal hope? We're stunning ourselves, aren't we? We're limiting ourselves. Are we putting ourselves in a box? Small box. And say, this is what my mind thinks. I'm going to tell you, your mind is very small compared to God's. I'm telling you that right now. Compared to God's, you heard me say. Well, we can think a lot of things, billions of things, whatever, but still compare that to God. It's unlimited in Him. All imagination, everything, every creation, everything is in Him. All things that are possible. Did you find that, Ernest? Anybody find it about the temporal? And I thought it was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but I don't know. Toward the end of the chapter, I think. 4. Okay. Start reading there. Now stop. Again, what did we just say? The things that are going to be seen are what you're seeing in your world. You catch it? And you put hope in those things. You're seeing them in your world. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of it's being brought forth by this. Knowledge and reasoning. It is. Because it's carnality. It's vain, isn't it? Isn't that what Dan talked about there? It was vain. It's very vain. So it takes you into that. The vanity is the lust that's in you for what you want to come to pass. And that's the imagination of your world as opposed to the imagination of God's world. You see the difference? There's a difference. So you put your hope in the imagination of your world and not in the imagination of God's world. Every time we use that word hope, let's think about it now, how we're using it. How are we using this word? Because really it's Christ. It's God Himself. It's the anointing of God is the hope. Really, it is. Catch this? This is very important. Now read it again.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Wow. That's cool, isn't it? So what do you want to put your hope in? You want to put it in the unseen, in the eternal, don't you? Now, here's the thing that's cool about this. You put it in that, God will show you things you can see. There'll be images from God. But you can't see them when you're in carnality, so then they're not seen. I get it? So things that are seen are what you put in carnality. You can see those. But once you enter into God, God will allow you to see the things He has in His imagination, and wow, now it's the image of God, isn't it? But you can't see them while you're looking at these, they won't be seen. You get it? So things that are seen are the things you see here all the time. We're not talking about earthly. We're not talking about in this physical realm. Oh, I see that car, so I'm going to. No, it's not that. See, that's why the earthly example isn't good. What we're talking about is what you're seeing in your world and what you keep contemplating on and what you keep thinking about. Thursday night, I won't say it on here, but Gary said something about, so you're going to continue to think this way about what you see. Because what was seen was believed, wasn't it? Believed to the point that when you were told the opposite, you still said you were going to believe. So what are you seeing? That's your own hope. Sure, go ahead. This is all powerful stuff, guys, if you catch this.
It says in 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
That's it. Another scripture says, whose house we are, we're Jesus' house. So why would we want to limit Jesus about what's in His house? Think about what I just said. Why would you want to limit Him if we're His house? Wouldn't you want to be unlimited and do everything? Didn't He say, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand? Didn't He say that? He did. So wouldn't you want to be in the house that has all power in heaven and earth in His hand? Whose house we are, that's the promise to us, guys. that we'll enter into all things and have all things in God. Isn't that part of the promise? That's part of your promise. That's what you're supposed to inherit. But what if you limit it because you're only going by what your knowledge and wisdom has shown you and reason has shown you in your world, and you think that's the hope? And because you put your heart in it. This is something else, too. You put your heart in it. You put your heart in it. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. And where does it come out of? The mouth. And it comes out of a heart. Doesn't Jeremiah 17 say that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But you know, there's another heart. Isn't that true? There's another heart. It's the heart of God. It's the Word of God. There's another heart. Isn't that true? Doesn't it take a change from one kind? We call it repentance. Remember you said it was based on the thing? That's what it is. So we change from one consciousness to another in repentance. What we used to think in our heart, which was so evil, now it's been walking another way, which is repentance. We've learned it. Repentance from dead works. Now we can enter into the things that are have faith toward God. Because we've gotten rid of the hindrance that kept us from getting there. Because we repented. And you have to know what to repent of. So where's our hope again? Once again, where's our hope? Not limited, but unlimited. Does that make sense? We don't see those things in our world as being important anymore. That's the point we have to get to. You know how we say that you love it and you're comfortable with it? So it's still what? Important to you, isn't it? That's a big word. It's still important to you. Until you let that importance go for those things that you like and see and lust after in your world, until you let it go, it'll always be a hindrance and hope will always be deferred because it's based on your carnality and not on your spirituality in God. Is the anointing in us? Doesn't it say it abides in us, Ernest? You're 2:27 of 1 John. Don't deny the anointing that's abiding in you by having a different hope. If it's in you, God wants to expand your hope in Him. And let me put this word up here again, because this is what it really is. Will of God. That's your hope. It's His will. Like Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? What will you want me? What do you want me to do, Jesus? Now that I know who you are, tell me what to do. Isn't that true? We should say the same thing. Now, we know you, Jesus. Tell us what to do and we'll do it. We want to do your will and not have a hope that's opposite to your will that limits us. Does that make sense? Once you enter into His will, you will see things. But they're going to be unseen to you until you get rid of this other stuff. They will be unseen. So, hope that is seen is not hope, right? But what about when you enter into the things of God? Oh, man, what did Dan say? He looked through that portal, and he couldn't see much of anything the first time. It was kind of all fouled up and everything in there. And then God gave him some understanding. He looked back through that portal again. He could see all the things of God, the kingdom of God. The song said this morning about the witness. I don't know how many of you caught how many times those women sang about the witness. The witness is you want to have the witness of God in you. And once you have that, then you have the hope that is the hope of God, the will of God working in you. And you will have witness of the will of God in you. His will be made known in you. You will see it and you will have witness of it. What do you think this all these dreams and visions that these apostles have been relating to us is all about? Once that witness comes, can anybody ever change your mind? Can anybody try to give you another type of hope other than the hope of God? It won't happen, man. You say, my hope is in something that's greater than that. So all these other hopes in your world, They make no difference. They're of no importance because they're carnal. They're not spiritual. So your hope will be in God and not in self. Whew. Does that make sense? Can we get rid of all that other stuff? I believe we have to. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about hope today, guys. Hope. And it has to be in God and not in self. Not in what you can do. Not in your abilities. It has to be in God. Good stuff.